That was great. Thank you very much. Now, choir, are you going to stay there or are you going to come out the front? I might need you in a moment. So why don't you come this way? While you're coming through, let me just read some words from the previous chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And these are words from Jesus speaking to his disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's bow our heads and say a prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, on this very special day of Pentecost, we pray that you will work in each of our hearts and our minds by your Holy Spirit to convince us more of your love for us and our place in your world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's an all-age service this morning, and we're going to cover some ground, so you're going to have to keep up. And I just need to warn you at the outset that towards the end, something exciting is going to happen. Whoa, that's what we need. A bit of excitement. Something exciting is going to happen, so let's bear that in mind. But we're going to start with some mental arithmetic, and I was going to limit this to the sort of tens and below, but that would not be fair, as there's not very many of them. But let me just try this one, a bit of mental arithmetic. 7 times 7 is? Add 1 is? Right, we've done well so far. Okay, memory test next. Which Jewish festival occurred 50 days ago? Passover, did somebody say? Yep, you were right. Passover. Passover's the answer. That, of course, was the period at which Easter for us, Holy Week and Easter occurred. So we've got to 50. We found out the Passover took place 50 days ago. And how, in ancient Greek, do you say 50th? What have you guys been doing in your education? Yes, Pentecoste, 50th, Pente, 50, I think. Don't go and check that. Pente, 50. And so the festival of Pentecost, was the Jewish festival 50 days after Passover. It's often called in the Old Testament and in other places, it's often called the Festival of Weeks because it's 7 times 7, as it were, a week of weeks. After the Passover. And just as the events of Holy Week and Easter had taken place within the general context of the festival of Passover, with all of its undertones and understandings of sacrifice and of escape, that was what the Passover stood for. So this dramatic gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is set in the context of another Jewish celebration. Now, Pentecost as a festival was principally, as a religious festival, was principally to celebrate the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. But like every Jewish festival, it inevitably had connections to the agricultural world. And so Passover, as well as being a celebration of the Passover in the stories of the Jews escaping from Egypt, was also itself an agricultural festival. It was the time when the first omers of barley were brought to the temple and celebrated. And now, 50 days later, the celebration would have been in the temple of the making of the first loaves. And the loaves were brought almost as sacrifices to the temple. And also in the fields, the harvest of the barley would have taken place, and now the wheat would be beginning to show. And if you were a Jewish man and you lived, certainly if you lived within 20 miles of Jerusalem, then you had a religious obligation to turn up for these festivals, to go to the temple to celebrate. And it's almost certainly the case that maybe more people came to Jerusalem in Pentecost than they did at Passover because the weather was better and the paths were easier to go across. And so it's no surprise that in our reading we heard that Jerusalem was full of people who had come to make their religious offering and their obligation from all over the known world. Now, I put that in that context because I want us just to realize that what happens in our story happens within a context where people are celebrating the goodness and the generosity and the grace of God. It is the giving of the law, it is the giving of the harvest that brought these people together. The generosity of God. So I want you to hold that thought for the exciting bit. Okay? Hold that thought for the exciting bit. So that's one context in which those events took place when those disciples got together. I want to go into a little bit more context. You see, sometimes the words that we use to describe those events that we've just heard read about sometimes seem to suggest that this is the first occasion in which the Holy Spirit has played a part in God's plan. We sometimes talk about it as being the coming of the Holy Spirit or the gift of the Holy Spirit as if it only happens once. And that was the first time. Actually, if we find ourselves thinking that way, well, it doesn't take us very long, does it, to start to think, well, that can't be right, actually. I mean, things like the second verse of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, talks about the Spirit of God who was moving over the surface of the water. And then we think perhaps of those passages that we know better, but let's just take Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones and the vision of the Spirit, the breath entering the bones. And these very disciples, these very people who are gathered together on this occasion, they themselves had seen the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life. They'd seen what he'd done, they'd heard what he'd said, and they'd even gone out and done some of it themselves when they went out on their missionary journeys, their little sort of mini missions. It's recorded that they came back having seen the Spirit at work. And Jesus had spoken to them often of the Holy Spirit. We've been thinking in the grown-up church over the last services and the sermons over the last few weeks, in the 50 days, I suppose, since Easter. We've been thinking about some of those words as Jesus has promised the Holy Spirit to his disciples. But it's not just then that Jesus talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. What did he say to Nicodemus when Nicodemus came to see him? And Jesus told him about the importance of a second birth. He said, unless a person is born of water and of the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless a person is born of water and of the Spirit. Now, we don't know whether any of those disciples who were gathered together on this occasion were there, and we don't even know when and if they'd heard of the event, but maybe they had. Maybe they'd heard or been at the occasion when Jesus had been to visit John the Baptist on the shores of the Jordan. What are we told about what happened there? Do you remember? This is what Luke says in chapter 3. He says, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. So if they'd been there, they would have seen the dove. And had they been there, they would have heard the voice. And what this would have been about, very importantly, was that they would have seen and heard God the Father through the Holy Spirit identifying with his Son. Right, hold that thought too, because we're almost at the exciting bit. Now, it'll come as a relief, I'm sure, to all of you to know that once a year, we lay readers have to have an interview with the vicar. We have to have a sort of MOT, really, an appraisal. And we go through the things that we've done well and the things that we haven't done well and the things that we haven't done and the things that we need to do. And it's all very helpful. I realised that about 2 years ago, there was a new item had appeared on the agenda of my appraisal, namely health and safety during sermons. And I took the opportunity to check at St. Saviour's earlier, and none of the other readers have got health and safety during sermons on their agenda. Well, I thought that was a bit... Anyway, so I'd just like to publicly recognise that this is on my agenda. I'd like to publicly make the point that I do recognise when Ben talks to me, he talks eminent sense. I'd like to apologise for the fact that I hadn't had the opportunity in advance to clear this particular exciting bit with him. But we'll see where it goes. Now, what I would like to say seriously is that if the exciting bit goes to plan, there will be a very loud noise. And now, if you don't like loud noises, when I count to three, make sure you cover your ears up. Okay? But other than that, I have taken all precautions. I am making sure that we are going to make sure that everything is absolutely fine. No, because you're going to be involved. That's why I wanted you out the front. I wanted the choir to help. The choir are going to be my disciples gathered together. So I'd like perhaps, can I don't know whether I can pinch Robert, because you're quite tall. Do you mind awfully? And maybe Jill, because you're also quite tall, if you don't mind. And I will try to make sure that you don't get burnt. All right? I think maybe if you two stand just around here, this is sort of a wall. Right. You ready? Good. Right. Yeah, I'll give it a minute. One. Ready for this? Ready? One, two, three. Ah, sorry, I should have said, do you remember I told you that one of my post-pandemic hobbies was putting on weight? I've actually mastered that hobby. There's nothing left for me to do. So I've now taken up hoovering. And I any opportunity to hoover, I do. So don't worry, we will tidy up. I have brought a hoover with me. Thank you very much. Do sit down. Tidy up. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, that was a pretty poor replication of that day. But let's just bring back a couple of the thoughts that we held from earlier on about the context of why they were gathered there together. They were there in the context of celebrating the generosity and the grace of God. And they were there against a background in which God identified with his people through his Spirit. He had done that with Jesus through the dove, and now it was no coincidence that the tongues of fire seemed to rest where? On each of them. Each of them was being identified with by God. What a wonderful thing. What an experience to have had. In the sermons in the last 50 days in church, we've been looking at various aspects of the responses of the disciples to the resurrection. And onwards, actually, some of the instances are after the the gift of the Holy Spirit on this day. The Acts of the Apostles is sometimes called the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. Luke, in that book, refers to the Holy Spirit over 40 times. And we can see what the Holy Spirit does. We can see it in the words that began of Peter's sermon. This Peter, of course, that we can characterize as the man who only weeks before, months before certainly, had denied his relationship with Jesus. And here, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, he stands and preaches. And we see this again and again. We see the Holy Spirit doing things like guiding them on their journey, where they should go, what they should do. It gives them courage to speak, like Peter on this day, but again and again. Picture Stephen speaking to those who are about to stone him. It gives them the courage to act. It gives them the courage to heal. The Holy Spirit helps them to make decisions that otherwise would have seemed impossible. It gives them courage. It gives them joy. It gives them power. It gives them peace. It allows them to do exactly what Jesus had said they were to do in those opening verses from chapter 1 of Acts. So you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That was today, Pentecost. And in all Judea and Samaria, that was to follow quickly, and then to the ends of the earth. And they were to get started on that through the setting aside of Paul and Barnabas. Exactly as Jesus said it would be, with the power of the Spirit, they were to achieve what God wanted them to achieve. So God identifies with each of us too. That same power of the Holy Spirit is available to each one of us. And as it's available to each one of us, one of the things that he does is to bring unity between us. Now, we may or may not experience the Holy Spirit as dramatically as this, or as the first Pentecost within the church, but the same Spirit is available to each one of us today. Let's bow our heads and say a prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you sometimes shock us out of our assumptions and our understandings, and you break down walls that we create. We pray that as we think about your word this morning, you will encourage us to open ourselves up to your leading and your courage and to your peace and to your joy. That your Spirit will work more in our hearts to create the fruits of the Spirit and to teach us of those gifts that we are given. We thank you for your Spirit and for all that you give us through Jesus. Amen.